Amen. Enjoyed the good choir singing this morning. That's something to be excited about. Saved to the uttermost. And I know that I am. I'm glad, thank God, this morning that you can know that. The Bible teaches us today that we can know that we've passed from death into life because we've accepted the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and done that by faith. It's a work of faith. It's what God does when you and I will just simply put our faith and our trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work at Calvary. And I appreciate the good singing this morning, and I appreciate each of you coming and being a part of the service today. Take your Bible, if you would please, this morning. Turn to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 21. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 21. As we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew, and for those that were here last week, of course, we looked at some things here out of chapter number 20. And what can Jesus do for you? We looked at the healing of the two blind men in chapter number 20. Today we're going to get in chapter 21. We're going to skip over the first part. We covered that during the Easter celebration season. And, of course, looking about, of course, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Today we're going to get down to verse number 12 and try to look down through verse number 17. With the help of the Lord this morning. So go ahead and find your place, and we'll stand here in just a moment out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. Just a couple of things we want to take care of here this morning. A couple more anniversaries. Scotty and Rosanna Bear on the 12th. And where did Scotty go? Oh, over here he is. How many years, Brother Scotty? 9 years. All right, let's give them a round of applause. We recognized some last week, and Rosanna was not able to be here. The children were sick, so we thought we'd get them today. And then Jose and Isabella Morales. How many years, Brother Jose? 12. All right. And that's today. Is that right? Is it today? Today. All right. Well, congratulations. Today, somebody mentioned that to me this morning. It wasn't on our list, so we wanted to wish them a happy anniversary as well. All right, anything else this morning before we look into the Word of God for a few moments today? All right. Everybody found your place in the precious Word of God. Say amen. All right, get you warmed up this morning. All right, go ahead and stand this morning. I invite you to stand. If you're able to stand out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For a few moments this morning, I want us to consider the thought here now from this text. And I will give you the title, and then I'll give you a little bit of introduction and give you a few things here that the Lord given to me from these verses of Scripture. But I want you to think about this thought as we read the text this morning. And I could imagine some in the temple maybe that day that this takes place. Maybe they ask this question. What's Jesus so upset about? What's Jesus so upset about? I want you to think about that as we read the text this morning. Give you the thoughts that the Lord's placed upon our heart today. Verse number 12. And Jesus went into the temple, notice that, of God, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. Verse 13, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. What's Jesus so upset about? And the blind. Now notice what happens after the cleansing of the temple. Verse 14. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Notice in verse 15. And when the chief priest and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, then notice, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Notice, they were sore displeased. And he said unto him, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them, and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Again, I want to think about this thought. What's Jesus so upset about. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence again today, Lord, to thank you for another Lord's Day, to thank you for health and strength, and then, Lord, to thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be back in your house today. Lord, I thank you for the teaching of your word. I thank you for, Lord, the wonderful songs that's been rendered and to our hearing. Lord, here again this morning, and I'm glad today that, Lord, we can know that we've been saved to the uttermost. I pray now this morning as your servant, Lord, as I stand once again in this place, I realize that, Father, I stand in a place where no man can stand alone. God, I pray that, Father, you'd anoint me with fresh oil. God, I pray you'd touch my mind and my mouth and my heart. Lord, I'd bring the very message that's needed for this hour. Then, Lord, this morning I pray if there be one here today that's never trusted you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray today would be the good day, Lord, they would come. Call upon you for salvation. Maybe one, cold, indifferent, Lord, whatever the need. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to make application, Lord, of the Scriptures into our hearts and our lives here today. And, Lord, as a church, that, Lord, we would always be about your business in a manner, Lord, that would be pleasing, Father, unto you. Lord, again, we just want to thank you. We want to praise you and tell you that we love you today. Thank you for Calvary. I pray again, anoint your servant afresh and anew. God, give us liberty. Bind any hindering spirit this morning. May our hearts and our minds be stayed upon you, Father, in your word. Lord, whatever you do, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. Again, for a few moments, out of this text today of Matthew chapter number 21, I want us to consider the salt, what Jesus so upset about. What's Jesus so upset about? As we consider the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, up to this point, we see him many times doing certainly many different things, and we see him in different emotions. We see him doing several different things. But today, as we look at the text before us, we see a little bit different side, if you will, of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find today that there were times that Jesus became upset because of what was taking place, especially in the temple of God. If you'll study your Bible, this is the second time that we find him cleansing the temple. The first time you will find it in John chapter number 2, and certainly at the beginning of his public ministry. Here in our text before us today, we find here the second time that Jesus comes in, if you will, and cleanses the temple. And this going, of course, in the time period of the closing of his public ministry. So I want us to consider now, from again this text today, of what Jesus is so upset about. I begin to look at it, I begin to think about it, and ask the Holy Spirit to show me some things today that we today, as a New Testament church, can make application of in our own lives and even here in this church at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church today. And so I'll try to go through them quickly this morning as you pray for us. The first thing that I want to give you from the text today is we find starting in verse number 12, we find first of all that Jesus had a desire and a dedication to go to the temple. Of course, we know at this particular time, to the Jews, the temple was a very special place. And I'll talk about that again, dear, in just a few moments. But today, the application that you and I can get from that this morning for those that are saved and redeemed by the good grace of God, we should also have a desire to go to the house of God. Now, for the Jew today that still practices Judaism, of course, they go to the synagogue, and you and I come to the church. Now, the church is more than just a building, and we understand that. I'm glad the church is the people that have been saved and redeemed by the good grace of God. But I'm glad there's a place set aside that we can come and worship the true and the living God. Come together as God's people and worship him. So I see that Jesus had a desire to be in the temple of God. And you'll find him certainly many times in his life as you study his life and his ministry. You would find him at the temple. And so this morning, that's where you and I ought to find ourselves this morning if we know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to find ourselves with God's people in God's house at worshiping and honoring Him. You'll find, of course, as you study here about Jesus in this particular time, as the Jewish people, there were three, of course, special occasions in which the Jews were required to attend the temple. There were three pilgrimages that were the Jewish people would make to come to the temple. You'll find that first pilgrimage, of course, was the Passover. Secondly, was the Feast of Pentecost. And then thirdly, was the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. And these were specific times that the Jews, especially the male Jews, were required to come to the temple and certainly to sacrifice and to worship and to pay the temple tax and all those things. I got to thinking about that, and I'm afraid that's a lot like a lot of Baptists. They think there's only three times it's required. Amen. To come to the house of God. I find that interesting. Of course, Christmas and Easter and Mother's Day. Now, listen, anytime you come, we're glad to have you. But I'll tell you what, God's more, He's worthy today of me coming when I can come and be faithful unto the house of God and the things of God. And I don't have time to preach on all that this morning. But I want to get into the thought of what Jesus is so upset about. We find, of course, the Jews were required to come to those feast times three different times at the temple. And again, the temple of God was a special place, certainly to the Lord Jesus. And I thought about why was the temple so special, not only to Jesus, but also to the Jews. And it also should be the reason why the house of God and the people of God should be important to those that are saved and born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, that temple represented, of course, a following of God. In other words, a place where the people could come together and worship the true and the living God. That temple represented a God. And so could the true and the living God. And that's what this church should represent, is the true and the living God. And I'm glad that it does this morning. And so I find why was that temple? Why did he have the desire? Why did he have the dedication to go to the temple? Because it represented the place of God. Not only did it represent the place of God, but it was a place of worship. And for those that have been with us some on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights as we've been studying in the book of the Revelation about the different church ages, and of course we're up to the Philadelphia church age, and we've been talking about that church having a window of opportunity, and one of the things that we've talked about was the window of opportunity of worship. The Jews were to come to that temple to worship the true and the living God. Now listen, I'm glad I can worship at home. I'm glad I can worship driving down the road. I'm glad I can worship anywhere that I'm at. But God has designated a place for us to come together and worship the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. A lot of people say, I can stay at home and worship God just as good as you can down in the house of God. That's not scriptural this morning, my friend. God has given us a place where we can come and worship Him. So not only was this place special to Jesus because it represented the true and the living God, but it was a place of worship. Not only was it a place of worship, but you'll also know as you study about the temple, it was a place of sacrifice. And they would bring those sacrifices there, of course, to be sacrificed. And those animals, their throats would be cut and the blood would be shed. And then the high priest would take it into the holies of holies and spread it on the mercy seat. Boy, I'm glad. Thank God we don't have to do sacrifices anymore. But see, that place, that temple represented the sacrifices and the forgiveness of sin. I'm glad 2,000 plus years ago on a hill called Calvary, at once and for all, the final sacrifice was given. The final blood was shed for the redemption of all mankind. But that temple represented God. It represented a place of worship. It represented a place of sacrifice. Not only did it represent the true and the living God in a place of worship and a place of sacrifice, but it also represented a place of prayer. And for you that have been in the study of the Philadelphia church also, we've talked about prayer. We'll probably talk about it some more. But notice Jesus himself makes the statement that my house shall be called a house of prayer.
and how essential prayer is to the child of the living God. And so this morning that represents this temple. That's the reason Jesus had a desire and a dedication to go to the temple. Now, we don't go to the temple today. We come to the church house. Matter of fact, there'll be another temple built real soon, by the way. Oh, I don't have time to get into that. Boy, that's a good thought this morning. But Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 25. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, is what that means. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that, preacher? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe He could come soon? Do you believe that He could come today? And if He doesn't come today, do you believe He could come tomorrow? Have a friend, it's imminent. He is coming. And here the book of Hebrews instructs God's people that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. What's Jesus so upset about? We find His desire and dedication to be in the temple. But secondly, I want you to notice this morning right from our text, not only His desire and His dedication, but then I want you to notice Jesus' disgust of the money changers and the religious leaders. Now try to get the scene. Now if you go and look at that temple or pictures of that temple, you'll realize there's many aspects to that temple. There was a court that was called the Gentile, the court of the Gentiles. And it's here where probably these money changers were set up. Now think about this. These Jews, now there was a... Of course, the Feast of Passover is getting ready to take place. And we know, of course, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. And He's here at the temple. And we know that many of those Jews was making that pilgrimage there to Jerusalem with their sacrifices to be sacrificed for their sin. When the sacrifices of all sacrifices is standing before them. But think about it. Instead of bringing their animals... They found it easier because these people began to sell there, of course, at the temple. It was easier for them in their travel not to bring along their sacrifice with them. And so that's the reason we have the money changers. Also, we find them coming from different parts of the Middle East there, and they would bring different kinds of money that would have to be exchanged so that they could pay that temple tax that was required of the Jews. So we have the money changers here now set up in the temple. And we find that Jesus gets upset. Now a lot of people think, oh, Jesus never got mad. Jesus never got upset. He's love. He was always happy. He was always smiling. Well, I believe if you look at this text real close, I believe He got a little upset. You don't go to throwing over tables. And matter of fact, John chapter 2 talks about Him making a court there and driving out the money changers from the temple. So we find Jesus disgust with the money changers. How did the money changers get there? Well, because the religious leaders allowed them to be there. Oh my. Woo, think about that. In other words, the leadership let it in. Better be careful this morning. We see Jesus disgust of the money changers. I thought about three things here in Jesus disgust of the money changers. Number one, I thought about their motive. Their motive. Do you realize today that motive is very important? What motivates you and I to do what we do? Well, I thought about this as I tried to study it and consider it. And I find Jesus discussed here the money changers, and I thought about the motive. In other words, I believe this was the motive. They had turned God's business into their own personal business. In other words, they had made the temple business, or what should be the business to the people, to serve the people, they made it their own personal business. Could I say this morning that religion is big business? I didn't hear much about it this week, but just in passing. I was so busy this week, I didn't get to hear or see much news or anything, but they were interviewing, and I'm not even going to give the name of the preacher, and he's got a private jet, and he made the statement that Jesus wanted him to have a private jet so he could jet all over the country because he didn't feel like it was God's will for him to ride an airplane with other people. Now, friend, there's something wrong. I believe it did. Not only did it disgust Jesus then, but I believe it disgusts him today when we take God's business and we turn it into personal business for our own profit. You better be careful who you listen to. You better be careful who you support. Because Jesus is not happy with that. Jesus, matter of fact, I believe is disgusted with that. We find their motive. What is our motive here this morning? What is my motive? What is your motive? They had turned God's business into their own personal business. As I said, religion is big business. But I'm glad the gospel is still free. Hey, man, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm glad the gospel is still free. I'm glad salvation is still free on our part. It's simple faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, there's cost. There's cost. And I believe we need to do what's right biblically concerning the cost, concerning the church and taking care of the things of God and all of that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm saying their motive was to make profit off of the things of God. Could I say we're in that same mindset today? Religion is big business. You say, well, preacher, that doesn't concern us. Again, you better be careful what you get involved in. You better be careful what you give to. You better be careful what you support. I see their motive. The gospel's still free. Thank God it is. Salvation is still free. Instead of honoring and worshiping, it had become ritual instead of reality to many of those money changers and many of those religious leaders of that day. It had been just going through the ritual instead of the reality of the true and the living God. I'm glad I serve a God this morning that's real. Hey, man. Y'all with me? Aren't you glad today that you can know the true and the living God? That it's not about a ritual, but it's about the reality of a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see their motive this morning was to get what they could get, not to give what they could give. See, there's a great difference there. I'm glad Jesus didn't come to get what he could get. I'm glad he came to give it all on the cross of Calvary so that you and I could be gloriously born again and have a relationship with the real and the true and the living God. I see his disgust. Not only do I see or thought about their motive, but then I thought about the ministry. What does the word ministry mean anyway? The word ministry simply means to serve. To serve. I'm glad Jesus gave us the greatest example of service that anybody could ever give. And certainly he demonstrated that through his own life. But listen, these money changers and these Jesus himself was disgusted at and wanted to run off from the temple there. And not only was their motive wrong, but their ministry was wrong. There's a lot of ministries out there today that are wrong. Now, it's not for me to call them out or anything like that this morning. But the ministry today is to serve. In other words, I thought about this as far as the ministry was concerned. They placed profits over the needs of the people. Profits over the place of the people. Hey, this is the second time Jesus had to run them off. Why didn't somebody else run them off? Why didn't the religious leaders do what was right? Oh, that begs of me this morning to look at my own heart, my own life, my own motive, and the ministry God's entrusted to me to make sure that we're not taking and looking at prophets over the people. He was disgusted because of their motive. He was disgusted because of the ministry. He was disgusted this morning because of the message. Notice Isaiah, notice Jesus here tells them in verse 13, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. That's pretty strong. Amen? Isaiah, he gets that from Isaiah 56 and 7, in the latter part of verse number 7. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. For all people. That means me and that means you. So I think about their motive. I think about the ministry. I think about the message. And here's where I get that thought from this morning. The message. The message is simply this. The message that it was presenting. The example that it was setting before the children. I know there were children in the temple. Huh? Oh, yeah. And so the reason that I comes to my heart and my mind this morning that Jesus was not only disgusted with their motive and their ministry, but he was disgusted with the message that it was sending to those children. It was sending the wrong message. So Jesus is disgusted with the money changers. He has a desire to be in the temple. But he wants it to be right. And that should help us today to understand that things around the house of God should be done right. I'm not talking about being legalistic. I'm not talking about bashing people over the head and all. I'm just simply talking about doing things the right way. What is the right way? The right way is the scriptural way. Now, you can go anywhere in Wilkes County or somewhere in Wilkes County, and if you want to believe a certain doctrine, you can find somebody that will line up with your belief. Now, whether it lines up with the Bible or not doesn't really matter. But it matters to God. And it ought to matter to you because you are setting the example for your children and for your grandchildren. When we have vacation Bible school or when we have anything else, it ought to be our desire to set the right example before the children. Because they're watching. And they're taking it all in. There ought to be something different. Amen, preacher! Ought to be something different down at the house of God. They can go to Walmart and hear the trash of the world. They can go here and hear the trash. I mean, they can see it on the TV. They can hear it over the internet. They can watch it on their phone. But when they come to the house of God, there ought to be something different. There ought to be some saints of God that's willing to lift up their hands and say, thank you, Lord, for saving a wretch like me. Thank God this morning, the songs that they sang, we ought to rejoice in today, knowing, thank God, that we're saved to the uttermost. That means, thank God, nothing can take away what Jesus done for me on that Sunday morning when I went under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God and bowed and cried unto Jesus, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm glad God changed me. God changed me. God done something in me. And now God wants to do something through me today, my friend. Jesus was disgusted at their motive, at the ministry, and of the message they were sending. Not only the message they were sending to the children, but what about the message that they were sending to the rest of the people there around the temple? You know, the world, and many of you probably have heard this, All they walk down there to that church is your money. Now, don't sit there like a calf staring at a new gate and don't tell them that you've never heard that. They're just after your money. I'm not after your money, neither is God. Matter of fact, God don't need your money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, owns the hills, owns the dirt. Amen. But if you ever get right with God, you'll want to give what God gives to you. You'll want to give it back so that the work of God might continue on. But God is not interested in your money. He's first interested in your heart. And if you ever get your heart right, your giving will get right. Not only will your giving get right, but your faithfulness will get right. I'm afraid, thank God, in some of our modern-day churches, if Jesus was to step in those churches, He'd be turning over tables and everything else. Hallelujah, to get the attention of the people to let them know that He's disgusted and they ought to do things the right way. I sure hope He wouldn't feel that way here. I see not only His desire to be in the temple, I see His disgust. But then I want you to notice, thirdly, His delight. There's one thing about it. Jesus didn't waste no time. He took care of business. He lets us know that in verse number 12. When He went into the temple, He didn't go around and ask the committee if it's all right. He didn't go to the priest. Say, fellas, we got a problem out here. No. Jesus took care of the problem. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Verse 13, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. No wonder Jesus was upset. Their motive, their ministry, and their message was wrong. But then I see His delight. Notice what happens when Jesus gets things cleaned up. Do you see it? All that was taking place before Jesus went into that temple, unfortunately, and clean things up as they were just buying, selling, and having ritual. But notice what happens when Jesus shows up. Could I say things will change when Jesus shows up? When you and I will take our hands off of it and let Jesus show up and show out. And when we will allow Him to clean... Oh my, this is good. When we will allow Him to clean up some things maybe in our own lives. Hey, God's come along a few times and kicked over a few things in my life. Can anybody else say amen right there? I mean, God's come through and kicked over some things in your life and let you know you don't need this. Might be good God come through this morning and let some people know there's some things that need to be kicked out of your life. Because they're hindering you from the blessings that God wants to bestow upon you. Look at it real carefully. Notice Jesus. Hey, Jesus is going to go to work now. Hey, things get cleaned up. Jesus is going to go to work now. Watch it. Look at it in verse 14. He's got the money changers taken care of. Verse 14, and the blind... and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. Jesus' delight was this. Three things, and I'll be done. Number one, after He gets things cleaned up and straightened out, number one, I see a welcoming of people who were in need. Hallelujah. You say, "Preacher, that don't excite me much." Well, it ought to. There was a welcoming of people that were in great need. See, what you and I need to realize, that's a picture of who I was and a picture of who you were and could be a picture of who you are today. In other words, I'm talking about in our sinful state. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. We were blind. We were lame until the Spirit of God, hallelujah, brought us into the house of God. And God, through the Holy Ghost of God and the preaching of the Word of God, drew us to Calvary. And God forever changed our life. Hallelujah, thank God. Aren't you glad that God still saves old sinners? Aren't you glad that He can meet the needs of those this morning that are still in need today spiritually? Christ and Christ alone can only meet that need. I found it interesting as I studied this welcoming of people who were in need. The blind and the lame came to Him in the temple and He healed them. There's some great things that can take place at the house of God when there's a welcoming of people who are in need. Y'all hearing me? There's people out there all around us that are in great spiritual need. And if we'd ever get right where we need to be with God, they would feel like that they were welcome to come and hear the message of the gospel that is free. And the reason I put emphasis on that this morning is Jewish teachers did not require the blind or the lame people to make the journey to the temple. Not only that, but a lot of the traditions say that they excluded them from the temple. In other words, we don't want your kind in the temple. I say, bring them in. Hallelujah, I say, bring them in. Red, yellow, black, or white, it doesn't make any difference. They're all precious in His sight. Hallelujah, the drunkard, the doper, the harlot, doesn't make any difference. Hallelujah, bring them in, bring them in, bring them in. Get them under the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, let God do the rest. Hallelujah. Hey, there ain't nobody else had to put their hands on them. Ain't nobody else had to do a thing. Jesus, He done the healing, thank God. And He can still do it today, by the way. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what you've been a part of. It doesn't make any difference. I'm glad, thank God, when Jesus shed His blood, He shed it, thank God, to wash away all sin. Jesus' delight was He got that thing cleaned up. And there was a welcoming of the blind and the lame. And the Bible says He healed them. Well, they're not good enough to come to our church. Praise God, if you got that mindset, you ought to be the first one in the altar. Neither are you. Neither am I. I'm glad, thank God, He died for whosoever will. That's what delights Jesus. I see a welcoming of people who were in need. Secondly, I see a worshiping of the children. Woo, hallelujah. That's the same thing about no worshiping taking place. While them stinking money changers was there and had the wrong motive, the wrong ministry, and the wrong message. But boy, when Jesus got in control, when He began to heal the blind and the lame, the children began to worship Him. Do you see it? Now that delights Jesus. Look at it in the text. Oh my. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things, I'm amazed they saw wonderful things and were mad about it. I'll get to that in a minute. That he did. Notice the second part of that verse, verse 15. And the children crying in the temple. Hey, there's something going on. Crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. You know what they were doing? They were giving him honor. They were giving him praise. They were giving him glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. What should we do when we come into the house of God and God gets things cleaned up? Thank God there ought to be some children that are worshiping. Hey, children need to see what real worship's about. Now notice I said their message was setting the wrong example. We're seeing something change now. We find a worshiping of the children. Crying in the temple. That word crying means to call aloud. It means to shriek. It means to exclaim. They were giving God glory. Could it be this morning? Could we ask ourselves the question, are we setting the right example before the children? Hey, if mom and daddy get to praising God, little Johnny and little Sally probably get to praising God. Now it says children, and of course you can translate that a couple of different ways, or you could maybe not translate it a couple of different ways, but you could apply it. Number one, to being a child of God. But number two, you could just make a simple application of it to the children. They were praising God. Now, they weren't praising God before God, Jesus. Oh, a preacher, it'd be so painful to get things cleaned up and get them right. What'd be really painful is to leave things like they are if they need changing. Let people die and perish around us. I see Jesus' delight. I see the welcoming of people that usually wouldn't be welcomed. I see the worshiping of children. And number three, I see the wonderful things. And there's probably so many good things took place in the temple that day, they're not even mentioned here. Hey, when Jesus is around and when Jesus is in the house, wonderful things are bound to take place. Why? Because he come to do wonderful things. I wonder what wonderful thing he could do in your life today. If you need saving, the wonderful thing that he can do today is save you. If there's things in your life that's not where they need to be, and God needs to come through and kick a few things down and take a few things out, today's the day. But here's what I want to close with. I see the wonderful things he did, but notice the enemy didn't like it. Oh, the enemy will always rear his head when God begins to do some wonderful things. Now, could you imagine? I mean, lame people being healed, blind people being healed, the children worshiping God, and the religious leaders get mad. Sound like some of our Baptists. Because they can't get credit for it. Amen. Hey, man, it's not about me, it's not about you, but it's about him. The Bible plainly tells us he done wonderful things, and they get mad about it. Must have been a bunch of Baptists. If it wasn't at the Jewish temple, I'd claim them Baptist. Amen. Jesus was doing wonderful things, and Jesus wants to do wonderful things in your life. The enemy didn't like it. See, here's what happens. Jesus put things in order. Why's Jesus so upset? Could you imagine some of the people, what's wrong with Jesus? Why is he so upset? because things were out of order. And sometimes things get out of order in our life. And if we're not careful, sometimes things will get out of order, even in the ministry. God help us today. Things were put in order. And when things were put in order, business began to pick up. Let me give you this verse of Scripture and I'm done. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 40. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says this, let all things be done decently and in order. God's order is always right. No wonder Jesus was upset. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want Jesus to be upset with me. I don't want Jesus to be upset with this ministry. It's His anyway. He's just entrusted it to us. I don't want Him to be upset. Well, let's not get to that place where He would be. Let's keep things in order. And in order to do that, we have to keep things in order in our own life. Jesus wants to do some wonderful things for you today. The question is, will you let Him? If you're here today without Christ, He wants to save you. If you're here out of the will of God, He wants you to be in the will of God. But Jesus wasn't happy till He got things right. And then when He got things right, business began to pick up. It wasn't about personal business. It was about God's business. If we ever get to the place that it's not about God's business, we are in deep trouble. God help us today. What is it that Jesus can do for you? What's your need? What is it He needs to for us to confess and clean up out of our lives? What example are we setting? God help us to set the right example. Let's stand to our feet all over the building, Brother Scotty. Father, we sure do love You today. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the Word of God. And Lord, I realize today that I've not even begun to scratch the surface of the greatness of this text. But Lord, we do find today in this text that there were things that disgusted You that You were upset with. And Lord, when those got cleaned up, Lord, You begin to do some wonderful things. I wonder today in this congregation if it would be those here today without Christ. They're like the lame and the blind, and they need to be healed. I pray they'd come this morning. And I pray for those here today with things in their lives, Lord, that You know, that they know that You're not pleased with, that today they would come and get it right with You. You take the invitation, Lord. You use it. Help each of us to be obedient. And Lord, I pray right now standing here on this platform that, Lord, I would never want You to be disgusted with this ministry here. God, we need Your help and Your blessings. We want to see You touch people and heal them and help them. See the children worshiping. And You doing wonderful things. And it's in Christ's name as they play for just a moment with every head.